helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichart, National Director for Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. I've got on the line Dr. Krista Stevenson. Krista, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Well, I'm going to just say something briefly about you, Krista, that to our audience as a matter of introduction, but I really would love to tease out more of your bio and conversation. First of all, just to let our listeners know that you are one of our resident reps and that you are a leader within CMDA. So thank you for taking the time and dedication to do that and serving others.
Of course. I've been really grateful to be a part of this ministry and then to be able to lead and give back. And, yeah. It's been an honor and a joy.
Well, let's talk about your journey with CMDA. How did you first hear about CMDA and why did you get involved?
Yeah. So I heard about CMDA originally through Christian Medical Mission of South Alabama. So I ended up going to medical school at the University of South Alabama in Mobile, which I absolutely love.
Yes.
And they have a ministry there that's a sister ministry mm-hmm. to CMDA that is weekly Bible studies with physical therapy students, as well as physical therapists and surgery residents and all kinds of residents, as well as the medical students, and then frequently meet to share a meal together. Hmm. And it really was a point in my life where I had just transitioned careers. I was a previous musician and professional performer.
What instrument did you play?
Oboe and English horn.
Okay.
And God had kind of brought me on a journey where he had kind of shut some doors there and led me to medicine. And in addition to kind of starting in medicine, I also felt very strongly that it was my spiritual life was also one of the things that I really needed to prioritize and get healthy in my life. I was saved as a teenager, okay. And I knew that, that I was saved and that I had a relationship. Uh-huh. But as far as really seeking and pursuing who God is and the great I am and Jesus is my Savior and the Holy Spirit and leaning on them day in and day out wasn't a huge part of my life at that point and a true walk with God. So, when I moved to Mobile, one of the things I was like, okay, I'm going to set up healthy practices in order to be able to do that. And so actually the first thing I did, I found an apartment and I actually found a church before I had even unpacked my apartment. Wow. And it really was just a God thing.
That is such a key thing. And I don't want to just go right by this quickly, that you were very intentional early on. Because when I talk to so many students, it's those beginning years of medical school, dental school, that are so challenging. It almost derails so many Christians. They're not getting the spiritual traction. They're feeling like they're floundering or they're struggling. But you, right out of the gate, were very intentional, clear, had a clear plan of action. It seems like that made most of the difference, didn't it?
It really did. It was how I found CMMSA and got established with them and really found what it meant to have not only mentors in my life that were also medical mentors, like I've had at CMDA, like Dwayne Baxter and Lee Grimm and John Simmons and Lynn Dias. Mm-hmm. And I should stop naming names because I'm going to leave people out that okay. I really, really care about. But also really learning healthy spiritual practices and having friends that know me even better than me. Christian friends that really would pour into my life, that gave me accountability. I think medical school is hard and residency is even harder, and that there are a lot of demands on your time and there are a lot of demands on your identity. For a lot of us, it really is a turning point in your life on what is your identity going to be and what is your purpose going to be? Because the world, especially the world of medicine and the world of music and the world of career, it's very easy to find your identity in your job. I am a surgeon. I'm going to be an endocrine surgeon. I'm a confident and competent surgeon that works hard, and I have a great resume, and I deserve this. And that is a very, very stormy ocean. And it's not one that anyone can survive. The way to live life is to find your purpose and your identity and who you are in Christ, and use that to bless everything else.
Yeah. And I think you're so right when you talk about the issue of identity and who you are as a child of God, and you are completely loved and accepted. Your reputation, your significance is not based on the ups and downs of whether you've had, you know, you've succeeded in a small or big way in your job or your career. It is based on Christ. It's outside of yourself. But I also think you touched on something so important, and that is the idea of community. Because I think the biggest issue for so many individuals, particularly those within healthcare, can be isolation, feeling like they're all alone, that there's nobody else that understands. And that, I believe, is one of the biggest attacks of the enemy, is you're all alone. But you had others to speak those words of life and encouragement, and it was that incarnational experience of seeing and being with other like-minded Christ followers that I believe really kept you continually focused and growing and reminded you of, again, too, of your identity. I think it's the power of community. We are hardwired to be in fellowship with one another.
Isolation is a very dangerous place to be. As someone that's an introvert, it's one of those places where if you don't have other people speaking truth into your life, especially if you're not having the time to spend a lot of time in the Word with Christ, it's really easy to start believing lies. It's really easy to start questioning your identity, to start questioning your faith, to start questioning who you are, because everything else is sinking sand.
Yeah.
You can't hold it. You can't rely on that. And God will take you, we probably don't even have time on this podcast, but God has taken me through so many open doors. This is God's path. This is it. I have his blessing to sudden redirection that can be very painful, but was God's preparation. And when you find your identity in that track, you end up in a dangerous place. But one thing you were saying, I think, one thing that I've really learned with my spiritual walk is that it's difficult to have a biblical balance. There's one thing that is legalism on that God is disappointed in me if I don't wake up at 3:30 every morning to get in the Word and pray before I have rounds and all of these demands. God is merciful, and the God that loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. And he's been very merciful and grateful. And I think he gives us grace in the moments. I remember just crying to him one day, being like, I can't do it. I'm tired. I'm falling asleep reading the Word. I feel like I've fallen into this. You're disappointed in me, and I'm questioning my faith. And you know, I felt the Holy Spirit say very strongly, no, my child, it's in the rhythms. I will give you grace in this period. You don't have to get up and be in the Word every day, but you need to seek who I am. You need to continue seeking, knowing who I am, what my plans are for you. Put me in the rhythms of your day. Worship as you're driving. Pray as you're talking to that patient. Bring me into your patient encounters. When you're getting up in the middle of the night for that 2 a.m. appy, I'm bringing you into that room for a reason, because you're meant to bless that patient for me. It's a complete shift. That being said, I've also had times where I've used that grace and slid a little bit the other way and said, I'm tired. I don't want to go to church today. I want to sleep. And it's a slippery slope where I've noticed myself being, you know, unhappy and kind of back on that sinking sand, and realizing that I haven't been spiritually fed the way I need to. And I haven't been relying on the support that God's put in my life the way I need to, and being in his Word and putting truth into my heart and my mind instead of what I'm inundated, you know, 12, 16, 24 hours a day. And, you know, I've also had those moments where, you know, it was very clear I'm starting to idolize things that I should not idolize. And that all comes in getting to know the wonderful mysteries of the God that created us and loved us and has saved us. But it is something that is very difficult to balance. And I think in different phases of our life, it works in different ways.
Yeah. And to your point, there's grace, and God delights in us. He's not, his default setting is not anger, or he delights that we would seek to come to him, even if it means, even in the weariness of sleep, and that's all we have to give. It's like the widow's mite. He takes, he receives that gift. And listen, having a son-in-law who's a general surgery resident, I have seen with some transparency of what the kind of schedule, the demands, the things that are put upon you. And yet, in the course of all of that, it is exciting to see your intentionality, your desire to walk with him, to journey with him. And that's a big reason why, Christy, I wanted to talk with you as a leader, as a resident, being a part of CMDA. I think it's just important that others can just get a window into other people's journeys. And like you've been saying, your journey isn't perfect. There's times of blessing, success, and times where you feel like you've fallen short. But there's, again, God is continually loving and patient and pursues us and is delights in us. And so and that goes back to the identity question too, and who we are in Christ. So I want to talk about the transition from a student to a resident, because this gets even more difficult for even those, you know, students that are seeking to walk with the Lord. They're trying to be faithful. They're trying to allow their life, their faith in him shine through in what they do. But then residency, boy, if you didn't think you were busy enough, then there's residency, right? What are some of the unique challenges you've faced as a Christ follower, now as a resident and soon to be a fellow?
So residency is a different phase in life, and it's definitely busier and comes with a different set of challenges. But the principles are still the same on that. There was a quote, I think it was Martin Luther King, but he was like, my schedule is 2 times busier than it typically is today. So I better spend twice the time in prayer. You know, it's one of those things get busier, things get chaotic. But it's an identity, and it's in having people in your life that you know you to reach out.
Were you able to find Krista? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
I wanted to ask, you know, you moved into another community. Now, that's another challenge. You're in Arkansas now, correct?
Right.
So were you able to find such a community at the depth and the meaningfulness as you found in Mobile? I mean, was it more difficult to find that kind of community where you currently are at?
It took me a little bit longer, but I was able to find it. And I'm very blessed in that I have community and mentors in a lot of places. I think it's very important that you have your local people. Life happens in medical school and residency. We're not meant to do life in isolation.
Right.
When major life events happen, you need that core group of people that really know you and love you and surround you where you're at. That being said, I have lifelong friendships and mentors with people that live all over the country, some through CMDA, some through churches. I have a best friend that lives in Birmingham that, you know, we FaceTime, you know, once or twice a week, because she knows me in and out and will speak Christ into me and vice versa. But I think it's very important to become established and to have a regular practice, even when you can in residency, of worship. And there's different mentors and different ways that those mentors lead you along the way too. Medical school was very much kind of discovery and guidance. I had the time to really pour in and really grow my spiritual life and really develop the foundations that I really needed in residency in medical school. I went to medical school thinking I would be a pediatrician. In fact, there were two careers that my parents told me they would disown me if I did. And one was become a musician because my mom was a musician and knew how hard that life was. And the other was to become a surgeon, because my grandfather was a vascular surgeon that loved what he did. But he found his identity in his job and sacrificed a lot, including his family, for his job. It was not in my mind at all that I was going to be a surgeon. And I met some wonderful Christian mentors in South Alabama and really fell in love with surgery. And it became very clear that that was what God was leading me to do. Before I got great mentors here and great mentors in CMDA, I actually relied on them and still are in touch with some of them and still do on what is it like to be a Christ follower and a surgeon. It was some of the first times that I saw really healthy, good examples of surgeons praying with their patients. And so it was easier when I saw it in that very supportive atmosphere, wonderful department. When I was in other atmospheres that weren't quite that way, and I didn't know if I would be supported, if something came of it or if there was a complaint, I felt very confident in watching mentors weave their spiritual life into everything that they did in every patient encounter, whether it was, you know, praying silently or praying with the patient or biblically thinking about your day. And it is not under my control, even if a surgeon who lives, who dies, what happens. I'm not God, and I would make a terrible God. And so I really developed those foundations there that I was then able to take into residency, knowing, okay, you know, when I start, you know, hearing these thoughts of I'm not enough, I don't have the hands of a surgeon, I'm not confident. No, that's not my identity. And when I start falling into people pleasing, you know, you develop those patterns earlier in your life in a medical school, and they just grow because they're challenged in residency in a way that they've never been challenged before. And then I've developed wonderful mentors. One of them is Dr. Ali McDowell, that has been one of my huge mentors. Especially, she's one of the ones I had some redirection in residency. I was sure that God had put me on the path to become a pediatric surgeon. And then spending 2 years in the lab and, you know, taking pediatric surgery call, I was unhappy and realized that God was shutting some doors and leading me in another direction. But it was hard to give up that idol and that identity of that career. And it's important to have the people that can really speak life into you.
Yes.
And biblically say, let's pray about it. What are your passions? What is your core? And to show you the routes that sometimes you're a little too stubborn to realize that, that God is leading you on that are even better. And are his plan.
First of all, Allie and I had a chance to have a conversation on a previous podcast. So I'll have to make a note in the show notes to reference that, because we have a chance to talk about mentoring. But it also goes to say that, you know, the things that you learn, the ways that you're applying and integrating your faith into your vocation and calling, isn't something you can necessarily pick up in books. It is because people are living that out, like you said, and showing the just the natural way they're weaving it into their life and into the practice of medicine, and people who are asking you good questions and who are listeners. And I think, you know, for those who may even be listening that have often thought, well, I don't know if I could even mentor anybody. Well, it just means being available, doesn't it? It means opening up your life. It means being transparent, allowing people an open door that they can walk through to be a part of your life. And as you've so greatly illustrated, what a difference that made, how it built those foundations in your life. And now you're carrying those forward. And I trust that you're seeing God use you in those patient encounters in very, very meaningful and important ways. We've talked about a lot, and I am so grateful for you, Krista, for the ways that you live out your heart and relationship with Christ, the impact you're making in the patients that God puts before you. Let me ask you to maybe end our conversation with an opportunity to talk to those who are listening, students perhaps that are about to match, residents that are currently kind of in the thick of it. What advice would you give to other Christian residents or students that may be struggling right now in their faith, and how to bring their faith to bear within the profession of healthcare?
So I would say, first of all, that there are no thoughts, no questions that God can't handle. Mm. And there is no circumstance that is not under God's control. The match and you know, medical school and residency are very challenging because they completely take control out of your reins. But it's also something that's very important to learn. It's something that challenges you. And it's not unusual to have thoughts of, is what I believe true? What is my faith? What is my identity? And it really comes in getting to know who God is and seeking his face in worship, seeking his face in prayer, seeking him in the word, and taking every thought captive. Mm. Is this true? And he's not some far off God that just it's a checkbox, I'm saved, right, because I believe that Christ died. Christ and God is, you know, he is the God that loved us enough to come, to save us, to have a relationship with us. The ones that came up to Doubting Thomas, the one that said, I am the God that sees you, to Hagar. The one that when Hannah brought her petition and her cry, that he said, I am the God of the angel armies. I will move mountains for you. I will give you that child. Mm. It's all in sitting at his feet. And sometimes that's something that's hard to learn, but it's something that God wants for you, that he will give you. Mm. And other people that can help you along the way. I have friends that taught me how to pray, that are prayer warriors, that taught me how to sit and be still and quiet with God, because there will be so many competing thoughts for your head. There will be so many, well, have I done enough? Is my resume enough?
Right.
If I don't get this residency, what's my future? Mm-hmm. Or if I don't follow this path, what then? God has got it covered.
Yes.
And
amen.
The only thing he asks you to do is to sit back and to know him, to believe in him, and to abide in him.
Yes.
And it is something that when you are growing, not that you always have, you know, sometimes you're tired, sometimes you fail. Sometimes you come back to him with your tail between your legs as the sun. But you have to remember, with that son, God ran. That's father ran to him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, God's not some bean counter that's far away that says, well, hope you did enough. Or if you don't get that residency, doesn't still have a plan and a great plan for you.
Yes.
That I would just say, seek his face in everything, and he will be faithful. Mm. With every redirect in my life and doors shut in my face, he has always been faithful to bring me to something even better than before.
Yeah.
But it's not easy.
No, not at all. Krista, those are great words. Those are great words of encouragement and admonition, and just abiding closely with him, just coming to our Father, resting in him, knowing that he is ruling and reigning, and he desires the best for us, better than we can even give for ourselves. I think you and I can say we've both looked in our rearview mirrors of life and said, you know, if I had gone a different way or made a different decision or chose my way, it would not have proven to be the best. God has us on the best path because he desires the best for us, and we can rest and trust in him. And I know you've got some open doors that you're walking through. You've got your fellowship about to begin. And yay, Baylor Scott & White in Temple, where my son-in-law and family are. So
I'm excited.
I am too. That is going to be fantastic. It's a great hospital, great department. And anyway, I'm glad you're a part of CMDA. I'm glad to have this opportunity to explore more of your testimony, your life, your journey. If somebody hears the things you're sharing, would love to just reach out to you, would they be able to do that? Can they do that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I can, whatever is easiest. I can give you my email and show notes or
Okay, let's put
whatever's
the,
easiest for sure.
let's do that. Let's put it in the show notes. We'll put the email in. I'll put that Allie McDowell interview that we had a couple months ago, and that'd be great.
One more thing I would add
Yes.
for those in medical school and residency that I just felt led to say, if you are struggling, you are not alone. It is not easy. This path that he's called us to is not an easy one. It's not a path that you're meant to walk through alone. God's there, and there are people that he has put into your path that are there waiting to breathe life into you.
We're going to leave it at that. That is a wonderful exclamation point on a great conversation. Krista, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation, being part of this ministry, and for serving the Lord and serving your patients well. So thank you, and thanks for being a part of this podcast. And for those listening, we look forward to having you to be a part of our podcast next time. Before we conclude our podcast, I'd like to share a couple of things that you need to know. First of all, mark your calendar. May 2nd to the 5th, 2024, is CMDA's National Convention in the beautiful mountains of Asheville, North Carolina. Simply go to cmdstudentlife.org/natcon to learn more about how to register and information on student scholarships, because we want to make sure that there's nothing that's going to hinder you from joining us this coming national convention, May 2nd to the 5th, in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. Also, don't forget, if you want to find the Pulse podcast via our video version, you can go to our YouTube channel, and that is found CMDA Student Life at YouTube, and we have all of these audio podcasts in a video version right there for you. And to keep up with the latest information and resources, you just need to have the Student Life app. If you haven't done so, download it. You can get it on your smartphone. The app is for both the Android and the Apple, and that will keep you up to date with not only the most important information, but resources that'll be right in your pocket. Devotions every Monday and Thursday come out on the app, as well as group Bible studies, and the Student Pulse podcast is found on the app as well. So check that out if you haven't done so already. Download the app, set up a profile, and you'll stay connected with CMDA. And as always, you can follow and like us on all of our socials. We're on the Instagram, the Facebook, and X, formerly known as Twitter, finding us at our handle, CMDA Student Life. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of CMDA's Student Pulse podcast, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye now.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.